Okay, so we're continuing in the theme of Hachnasas Archim. We say it's Yoser Mekabalos Pnei Hashchina. We spoke about this idea of being practical and being mindful about the mitzvah, about the ramifications, about the impact of it, to the extent that it may negatively impact your finances, it may be difficult for your family members, not to overextend yourself. It's a general klal in terms of mitzvahs as well, that you shouldn't be too thoughtless in regards to any aspect of any mitzvah.
Starting from where? It's in the middle of the paragraph.
I'll tell you in a second, but I'm just giving you the background, like what we spoke about, which is the idea, again, to understand that the approach towards the mitzvah needs to be done thoughtful. It's a general approach in life, to be thoughtful about things, not to rush into anything, not to miss the ramifications, or the fancy word is the externalities vis-a-vis the mitzvah itself. A person has to be smart about how they do it. If it's going to be too much work, then don't overextend yourself. We spoke about not to do the mitzvah, but to rejigger and to reset your understanding of what the mitzvah is. To understand that the mitzvah doesn't have to be a 5-star meal, doesn't have to be 5-course, doesn't have to be the person's living in a bed and a warm meal
and a smile
is enough as is. Va'al yisenu yitzra loymar. And don't let the yitzhar tell you. It kedei la'azmin areach tzarech hachana harbi. It's a tremendous, tremendous. You need a whole big setup. Kedamri honey enchi. Shneim tzaras bar archim. Shekol asher babayis yimayt ve'enayim kashesh areach ve'oitzes l'balayim shayimar amarbim l'havim amram. Yafshel l'chabid acherim b'kolin atzmoy. Mitoich kach mimarnei v'lay maisi archim. For this reason, again, we're letting what's the phrase? Don't let be perfect be the enemy of good. Did I say the phrase properly? In the sense, don't build up the mitzvah to such an extent that it's actually going to stop you from doing the mitzvah itself. If it's expensive for you, don't take out big loans. Don't overextend. By the way, it's actually Min HaShamayim that we spoke about this mitzvah, because who did we mention a couple days ago? Rebbe Tzenheni Machlis. Did you know the day that we actually learned it was her yahrzeit? I didn't even realize that. It's Mamash Min HaShamayim. You think about somebody, again, there are people who go above and beyond because it's organic and natural for them. If you're the type of person that's already bothered, already annoyed about it, and you're overextending yourself, you're doing something wrong. It comes to most mitzvahs in life. For example, the mitzvah of bitachin. If a person says, is it a problem of bitachin for me to go into to travel to a certain place because it might be a war zone? The very fact you're even asking the question is already the proof that you're not about bitachin and you're not holding there. The people that do these things naturally, they just do it. They don't even think about the externalities. They don't think about the ramifications. Again, that's because it's natural and organic for them. Okay, sometimes it could be it's thoughtless. But if someone's doing it properly, someone doing it right, it's because it's natural and it comes to them. Again, the fact you're even asking, well, I don't know, then it's already a sign and a proof you're not the machlis. Okay, so you should do things carefully, normally. What do you mean? You're asking a question about what? That if a person would, for example, they're making a celebration, they're making a bar mitzvah. Yeah, that's very important. That's very important. It's actually a very, very big challenge these days, where people, especially in America, where people make these simchas, they make these celebrations, and they feel such an extreme pressure, how other people do it, what's the standard, what's normal. A person has to, in life, kind of just be willing to be. If it's going to be literally causing you stress, I know situations and stories where fathers have literally collapsed with heart attacks at weddings because of the stress of what it means, the financial burden of making a wedding, of setting up your daughter or your son-in-law for giving 600,000 shekel to each kid, unless you have 9 kids. What are you going to do about that? You're taking loans upon loans on top of loans on top of loans. This stuff can really stress out. A person has to know that you have to be an individual. The only reason why it exists is because people are goaded into being pressured at these things. You have to do what's good for you. Doesn't mean you do too extreme of the other, but the person has to know, what's good for me is what's good for me, and not to be worried about what people say or people that. People that worry about these things, it's coming from a lack of memunah in Hashem. If a person really, really, really would think about it, understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What?
Let me ask you a question. Is a child? I agree with you, and it's important. And you're saying a very important thing. Is it if for a child's growth, a child's start in life, Is it good that they should be sitting Shiva? Is it good that they should be seeing the parents fighting? Is it good that they should be having the stress? Or even worse, this happens with a lot of kids, the guilt that they see that the parents are struggling under the financial burden and they feel tremendously guilty that they're the cause of it. So they're taking it, yeah, but does that actually give any sense of appreciation? I'm not saying throughout every single system, I'm not saying go to the extreme of the other. I'm saying it's worthwhile and thoughtful that if a person's in a tough situation, not to feel pressured to meet the exact standard. If you can't give 600, you give 200. I don't know. I wish I had all the easy answers. But the thought for sure has to come from one thing: understanding that there's a God in the world, and Hashem is the only decider about your reputation. Hashem is the only decider. It's better that Hashem that you're right with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than what you're right with the people around you. Listen, we're not saying you can't be stressed. We're saying that to take on more stress, and again, I want to make it very clear, that we're talking about over here is where you're stressed about the mitzvah. So if you're stressed about the mitzvah, then you can't say, well, okay, I have bitachon, I have munah. You don't. You don't have bitachon. You wouldn't be stressed if you had bitachon. If you have bitachon, it's because you're not stressed about it. And that should be a sign to you that maybe I shouldn't be pushing myself more extreme than it needs to be. Again, these are very fine ideas, and a person has to have a mentor specific context and a specific issue. But ultimately, when it comes down to the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim, a person has to know to what extent and how far. Yes, we want to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim, and yes, you should do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim. And if you're stressed out to not do it, then you have to rejigger your conception of what the mitzvah is. Not to not do the mitzvah. Do the mitzvah. Continue to do the mitzvah.
But do what the actual mitzvah says to do.
But do it properly.
Overboard.
Exactly. V'heim bichlal. We're in the next paragraph on the bottom of page 37. V'heim bichlal. This is included. Shafilum yesh kas v'tzar b'libo machmas izasiba. If you're frustrated or bothered by any particular issue, yaser kas milibo v'al yare b'fna arech elopanim sochalkos. Right, this is a very interesting thing. That if you're stressed or you're bothered about something and you have a guest in the home, you shouldn't show the guest your frustration. Don't, keep the internal affairs internal.
Your children as well.
That's very true. But regarding the guests, we were looking for the perspective that the guests, we want to make them feel comfortable. Because God forbid, what's the reaction going to think? He's going to think, oyvei, I'm causing distress on this person. Now, it could be that you have a totally separate issue. Let's say you had a totally separate issue. You got into an issue with your kid and a chinuch problem. And you walk out of the living room and the orech sees you, he's going to think, oy vey, because I'm now imposing on them. Or even worse, that I'm the cause and the reason as to why they're upset. V'yadu amayim Rav Seder Zechon L'Vrachas, Chazal tell us in Baba Basra, sh'anoisin tzedakah la'ani mizbarach b'shesh brachas. A person gives tzedakah to an ani, to a poor person, they are blessed with three blessings. I'm sorry, shesh blessings, apologies. Shesh is six. V'mafai soim mizbarach ba'achas esrei. But it's someone who calms them down and makes them feel good about the reception of the money, they are blessed with literally 11 brachas. U'l'oilom, ayoz v'machshav t'godol ha-mitzvah. Do not remove from yourself the tremendous mitzvah of, and the schar, the tremendous reward of the mitzvah zachat archim. L'man, lo yichbar olav yaseh b'chi b'yaseirah. Obviously, again, don't miss the idea of how tremendously life impacting this mitzvah is. We spoke about before that Baba Sali says that someone who keeps the mitzvah of Achlas Archim will never be lacking a parnasa. I was so struck. I had a friend a while back, a big tzaddik, a tremendous talmid chacham, where he invited my wife and I for Shabbos Suda. And he called me, maybe on Monday, invited me. Already by Thursday night, he's calling me and saying, I apologize, I have to cancel. I said, why? He said, I can't afford the chicken. I can't afford the extra chicken to be able to have it for Shabbos. I understood that. Obviously, I'm not judging vis-a-vis the context that we're saying now. Until you know that if you're going to have any problems, I'm the reason. It's a real challenge for people. This is a real, real challenge. It takes a tremendous Baal Pitachon to do that. Okay. It was. Baruch Hashem, I'm zochet to have been able to help him to get into a koil, which paid like three times the price that he was getting in the previous place that he was going, Baruch Hashem. So I'm happy to have been part of that. But I realized, like, wow, people are really, really, are really so dachuk to the extent that the extra chicken is actually something that they can't do. That's very tough. I can't imagine it. Hashem should bless them. Now, we've been speaking up until now from the perspective of the one bringing you in, the Baal HaBayis himself. But now let's talk from the perspective of the Oreach, of the guest himself. You should not be a burden on the Baal HaBayis. If a person theoretically could afford to stay in a hotel rather than throwing himself on other people, do not ask to stay in the home. Again, there could be some reasons. I can imagine some people say, you know what? It's really depressing to be on the road. It's really depressing to be going around collecting. I at least want to be around a family. You know, it's lonely. It's really lonely on the road. So I want to be with a family. True, but if you have the ability to be in a hotel, keep in mind that you're affecting somebody else. Literally, don't, unless it's your last resort, it's better to stay in a hotel than to throw yourself on other people's needs. That you should know, and why, because it's a good filtering way to know that the person inviting you is actually inviting you because they want to see you, not because they feel out of a sense of guilt and a sense of embarrassment that they're not taking you in. Someone who receives benefit from his friend and the person doesn't really, really want to do it, only doing it because of kisufa, because of embarrassment, yesh boy serech gazel. There actually is a question based off the Sefer HaChassidim, that in a sense, maybe you're stealing from that person, right? As we know, your friend has it happens very often in elementary school when I was a kid in kindergarten, your friend has like a nice, awesome snack, and you're like, oh, can I have? And he's like, no. And finally he relents. What's that? You in a sense, pushed your friend to do it, right? Some of our friends even say, that's partially literally the isser of you should not be jealous, right? You should not covet thine fellow's property, right? Or in that case, his Cheetos. And therefore, if you're staying in someone's house, do not spend all your time there. Don't just lounge around. Because why? The more you're around, the more annoying it is for some people. If you have to stay in a particular city, you should not just stay there for a long time if you have another alternative. If you only have a small amount of time, it may take a long time. Again, a very simple, practical matter, which is make your time as short and sweet. My mother said there's three things that stink after 3 days: fish and guests. Okay, what's the idea? The idea is obviously, again, we from our perspective, we want to maintain the idea of guests. But a guest has to be self-aware to understand that you
want your space
when the time is up, and make it short and sweet.
You can separate the idea of having a guest for whatever, like another need, and Shabbos, yeah, or Yom Tov.
Yeah, having someone for a meal for sure.
That's fine.
Yeah, but also keep. But by the way, it still applies there too. Well, you could ask. We could ask. Right, you have to be careful how you invite yourself over. It's very presumptuous. But let's say you are invited. And let's say the person wanted to be Lev Shalom. And then the meal is 2-3 hours. And then you start sticking around. I had that situation once, my wife and I, where we had a guest and they just sat on our couch after the meal. And like, wasn't any like, you know, we want to take a nap. We want to like maybe spend only time with our kids because our kids have a hard time. Like, you know, my son is a Baruch Hashem. He likes guests, but he also wants his like private time. Sometimes he'll tell me in the middle of a meal because we have, let's say, a ton of students or he'll pull me over and say, Tati, can you only talk to me during the meal? Because I see that he feels he's a little bit, you know, ignored and pushed to the side.
Where's the balance there?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. The answer is there is no balance. Balance is a made up thing. It's not balanced.
Well, it's because he has a need, but at the same time, it's unrealistic.
You have to give both.
100%. I'll tell you for myself. My father was a rabbi of a community, prominent rabbi, and we had literally every single Shabbos without fail guests. Whether it could have been one person or it could have been sometimes 15 people at a time. Wow. And half of the time, to be honest, were weird. Okay? They were weirdos. And I knew it as a young kid. Like, this person is weird. This person is not normal. This person smells. You know, all the different things. So hold on. So I'm not going to attack my father. But the point is like this. Is that I grew up with a very negative sense of guests. To the extent that literally when my wife and I got married, my wife had this vision that she's going to have Shabbos, guests, and people staying in our house. And I was like, no. I was so used to people being around that I literally wanted to create boundaries as strong. I had to learn how to be able to lower my boundaries down because I was so, the term the kids use nowadays is traumatized, right? I was so traumatized. Exactly that. But I had to understand that, you know, there's a healthy balance. There's sometimes we're able to, sometimes we're not. You know, I don't like it necessarily having, especially in the small apartments in Yerushalayim, let's say having a guest staying in our kids' room and take our baby in from that room into our room, and then basically it means I'm not going to sleep the entire Shabbos. A person has to be practical and to be honest with themselves. I would be super resentful if I didn't sleep the entire Shabbos. I would. I mean, some people are totally fine with that. I'm totally not.
So what do you do when it happens?
On the spot, it happens. Once you've accepted it, then you have to live with that reality. You know what I mean? You have to live with that reality. That's an internal job within myself. Okay? But again, the plug over here, the Indian that we're trying to discuss, is that from the perspective of the Reich, you need to understand that you're affected, that you are a net positive with also baggage together. You're an Reich. The Shechina.
You have to be sensitive to the Baal Baisig.
Exactly. Pay attention. Are you sticking around too long after the meal? I don't think I finished that story. He just sat down and I was like, why? Like, why are they just sitting here? So of course we had to deal with it. We dealt with it. We spoke to them. It was, oh, it's so nice. Oh, do you want to take our kids out to the park? Oh yeah, do, because maybe we're gonna. You have to, like, you know, very slyly kind of broach the Indian of I love you, but get out of my house. Again, by the way, keep in mind the halach is for a Baal Bayis. An orech is chayef to listen to everything the Baal Bayis says except for one thing.
Get out.
No, get out. Chutz mitzei.
Really?
It's a very funny thing. It's the one thing. Why? It's the one thing that actually not. But again, it's a very important nekuda on both sides that people should be smart, should be sensitive, and to take as much as you need without being overly burdensome. Okay,
how do you handle being a guest then? Like, because your actual sense.
It's a very so it, to a degree.
Being a guest,
right.
It's a little bit like on the cautious side.
Your so wife, to a degree, it's not a crazy. It's not a crazy idea. It's not a crazy idea. Like offer help. Stay out of the way. Don't stay in the bathroom too long if there's only one bathroom. By the way, that's not a small point.
What?
If there's one bathroom and you're sitting in the bathroom and you're
taking it up, you're being weird. Everybody's like waiting.
Pay attention to that. Notice, like, if you shave, if you use the person's bathroom and you shave, don't leave any hairs around. What's wrong with you? It's like, it's disgusting, right? Don't take a long shower. Don't use all their hot water. Oh, this is very, very specific. I don't know.
Like,
you know, it's a very small thing. I'm saying, it just takes a little bit of thoughtfulness. You don't know what you don't know, so it's hard to ask. You don't know. For example, if you're going to use a person's shower, ask, is there anything I should know about the shower that, like, maybe water doesn't spritz out? Because I had a situation. I had a family member used to use our house. You know, she used to stay over for Shabbos, and she used to use a shower. And she would never close the curtain well enough that the water would stay in only in the bathtub. Instead, what would it do? It would flood the entire floor. And she didn't even notice, and it would drive me crazy. She wouldn't even notice afterwards that the entire floor was completely flooded. Again, this is not my time to rant about what about, I care about this person tremendously. You know, it's a group therapy session. But something small like that, fine, you don't know before, but pay attention afterwards. Is the floor flooded? Is that normal? Is it a normal thing that in most places the floor is flooded?
You don't need a whole roll of toilet paper for every time you use the
restroom. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Don't plug an entire person's toilet. Think about smart things. Not putting in baby wipes, right? Obviously, I should never do that to begin with. But even
regard, you have to
ask. When we talk about the world of plumbing, we'll discuss it. Don't use the entire person's toilet paper. Okay, basic things. Again, but again, on the other side, a Baal Bayis should also, or, you know, a host should also say, I think Rav Avigdor Miller said the number one thing, or the first thing that a host should show the guest is the bathroom. Because that's the number one thing that most people are embarrassed to ask for. Can I use your bathroom? Like, oh, by the way, I just want you to know the bathroom's right over there.
Right. Joke. Do you guys have a bathroom?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, they should know what they're getting themselves into beforehand. The point is that a person should say, the person should think to themselves, how can I be the least imposing, the most helpful, or the most out of the way? And oftentimes the third one answers all the first two. Sometimes they don't want you in the kitchen. You know, we have a situation a few times where my wife and I will have guests, we'll have our students.
And the women will come.
And the girls all flock into the kitchen. They all flock. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. What if your kitchen is like,
you can learn now.
This, like literally this box? No, I don't, listen, that's selfish, right? I agree with you, but that's selfish from my perspective. First of all, I will learn them during this anyway. But the point is that all the girls, say six girls, will pack into my tiny little kitchen. And I was like, Mrs. Casorla, can we help? And she's like, get out. But she can't tell them to get out because why? It's a foof little area. It's very, very small. It's very, very, you know, it's very hard to maneuver.
Hopefully the girls aren't listening.
Oh, they're absolutely listening to this. And they're finding out right now that it's very annoying for them to pay attention. How big is the kitchen? How much help do they need? Do they not need help? Maybe we should sit at the table and give space to the. Not every balabasta, not every mother wants necessarily all the help in the entire world in the kitchen. Be smart. Okay. A small thing also in terms of coming for as a guest, you know, people oftentimes will buy gifts for the suda, right? They'll buy gifts or a meal or buy a dessert for the suda. Ask. No, don't bring challah. Why don't you challah? I know
that's not a good
ask pasha the kashrus. How many times has somebody come over and has given us literally? Like, I forget, like a Mahadrid. Straight up didn't even look. I don't even know what they were looking at.
Yes.
It was like Arabic. I don't know. They were just like, they bought it in Ramallah for all I know. They have no idea what the Heksher is. They didn't ask. They didn't clarify. Call ahead of time. Oh, because it ruins the surprise? It's not a birthday party. It's not a birthday party. You're trying to serve me food. Ask me. Ask me if I like flowers or like wine. And what if I don't like either?
I'm not giving you flowers.
You know, wine, but how many times? You know how many times I get wine? And I love wine. And all those students have got me wine. I appreciate it tremendously. The point is that it's something, it's worthwhile. Okay, well, that's a red flag anyway. So it's making me a little nervous. Hello, my name is Michal.
I also find that guys, oh my goodness, you have guys for
sure. You have to release yourself to a higher power. What do you say? Why?
Guys for sure, and for some reason they think they should be in the kitchen with a wife.
Okay, that's, I've never heard that before. But
it happens all
that
the
Bach,
time.
You're telling me that Bachar will go to the kitchen to help out with the Rebbe?
Help out, like, what can I bring in? What can I do?
The only thing a Bachar should be doing is one thing. One thing only is. Three things. Saying Dvar Torah.
Singing.
Staying at the table singing. And then cleaning up afterwards. Beyond that, there's nothing else a Bachar should be doing. There's no way in the world. And four, what they should not be doing, because the Somira Vaseh Toiv, so the Somira is not schmoozing with the Rebbe. To me, it's the most insane thing in the entire world. Okay, but this, we could go on all morning. Okay, we have what to do.
I want to ask one thing. It's imperative.
Go for it, yeah.
What is the law of a seating thing. Arrangement?
Of a seating arrangement?
My understanding from the Chafa Chaim is the bare minimum is that men and women are on two different sides.
Okay.
Minimum,
yeah. So listen, we're not Hasidim in the sense that the Hasidim have to, that the women sit in the kitchen or in a separate room and the men sit at the table. We don't have to go that far. We're not the Taliban, as Moshe always would say. But there should be a clear delineation. Number one, sitting next to each other. Again, Al Pi Halacha, we're not saying Al Pi Halacha, like absolute letter of the law. It's usher to sit next to a man or a man sit next to a woman. It's not usher. Why? But of course, husband and wife can sit next to each other. We would set it up. But in a situation where it's not necessarily so clear cut, the women should be on one end. Let's say if you're having couples, right? We're having a couple's meal. If you're literally just married last week and your next door neighbor is married last week, mask him. You shouldn't have a couple's meal. But you get to a certain age of maturity where you're not sitting there schmoozing with somebody else's wife. What?
How many years married?
I would say, after your first kid is already rolling around. And you're, a kid is a natural buffer. A kid is a natural buffer.
Brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. But the same is hard to get into.
Yeah, but let's say
three, four couples in
that. He's saying, like, for example, in the French Hill. He's saying, for example, in French Hill, you have like a younger couple that has a next door neighbor, and they want to be able to have a meal together. The two boys, they were in yeshiva together. Maybe the girls know each other. Whatever reasons, they want to be make friends, and it's very hard here in Israel. It's very hard if you don't have a natural family here. So it's very common. So the idea is that it should never be. It should be set up in a situation where you're only talking to the men. The men only talk to each other, and the women. Now, again, does that mean you can't theoretically ask a question? So number one, never ask direct pointed questions that are open ended to the female gender, right? You say, like, what do you think about that? That's treif shen kamo. That's none of your business. You care less what that woman thinks. Okay. You could say, or you could ask the husband, where's your rebbezin from? Never direct any questions to her. Or it's a very understandable. No, obviously, no eye contact. No direct, cross contact to each other at all. It has to be 100% respectful. At the same time, it could be a mensch, right? It doesn't mean we're disconnected. We're not pretending no one's in the same room together, right? It's a natural. It has to be natural. But never direct any questions specific to that person. Okay?
Halachically.
No.
Not, again, I
understand. Let me ask a question. It's Seichel Hayasher. As Rav Sosa Lanter said, the first halach in the Torah is don't be stupid. The first halach Rav Sosa Lanter said in the Torah is don't be stupid. It's Seichel.
I understand that, but I'm not making that Seichel in that place, right? So,
yeah.
They don't understand.
Yeah.
Where's the halacha? I don't know what this is. I schmooze with the rabbi's wife all the time.
Yeah.
I get that answer like maybe.
And she say she's a real tzaddikus because if you weren't talking to her, she wouldn't be engaging and starting a conversation with you. It's usually how it works. You can respond. You can be normal. Again, you can be respectful, but you don't initiate relationship with them. And you surely, again, do not ask any intimate questions about that person, how they feel about something, what they think about something. It's none of your business.
I know. And what if the person?
I'm still upset at you.
What if I know that Rebbetzin is a huge Torah scholar?
Unless she's either Hashem Shavin Aliyah, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, and or Libad Bechaim Lachayim, Rebbetzin Tarshish. I don't know any Rebbetzin right now that is like Mamash, like a Magid Shir who's giving Chaburas right now. So you know what? And probably, and if she's a Tamidah Chachamah, that her husband is a bigger Talmud Chacham. You should be getting knowledge from her. Him, not from her.
The husband asks the wife very often, by the way.
Okay, because I'm Dave, so talk to him still. What is it? Okay, no, she's not.
I didn't say you did it.
You say Duff protests too much.
I wasn't there.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you have a question. What's the question? Your aunt knows Gemara better than your uncle. It really makes me only just realize that your uncle doesn't know very much of Gemara. Okay, the point is that I don't know them personally. The point only I'm trying to say is that it needs to be done normally, of course, naturally, of course, organically, of course, and not like you don't have to be a ball of nerves.
You can respond if she says.
Response, of course, but don't initiate. You don't initiate. If the person initiates, it just with you, say, oh, thank you very much, and you like dead. You know, he's a dead fish with a handshake. You can dead fish a sentence. So where are you from? Silver Spring. And you move on to something else. Like, that's it. You move on. You dead fished it. Yes. You have a question. No questions? Let's continue. You have a question?
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit louder because I can't hear you so well.
A phone call.
What about a phone call?
I have a friend of mine. Sometimes his Rebbe picks up and I want to talk to him because I got a question about my brother.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's appropriate, right?
100%. If it's l'tachlis or l'tu'eles. If it's for a particular reason, he's like, can I speak? Hi, Shalom Aleichem.
Never
casual. Chas v'shalom nara. Say, how are you? How are you doing? That you don't do that. You don't do that. It's bad for you. It's not kosher. Okay, let's continue.
Can Rebbe explain exactly what's? What's behind it? Why is that wrong?
Why is it wrong? There's something in halacha. It's called an eshes. Ish. And Ish is an erva, an arayas.
So guy's gonna tell
which carries
you
along with it.
Guy's gonna tell you back, just because I'm talking, it doesn't mean I want to sleep with him.
Okay, agree. So, Azman.
So then, Ish is fine. We're just a friendly.
Okay.
No,
the Torah says.
Listen,
again, very simple. It has nothing to do with the term that you use, which I wouldn't necessarily use, but it has nothing to do with the sof maisa. Sof maisa, ain't apetropis la rais. It's like a you don't put a fire. Literally, it is fire. It is like fire, and you don't get close to fire. And it only tells you about how if a person theoretically is deadened in there, if a person's able to go so close to the fire they don't feel anything, have you heard of this? There's a particular medical issue where a person gets close to fire or any type of pain, they don't feel the pain. But what does that tell you? That person has a severe medical issue, and that's actually quite dangerous to somebody. That the sensors of how close you are to a pain and how close you are, that means that you are in literal danger because you could literally be cutting a knife, cutting with a knife and cutting an apple, not look for 2 seconds, cut through your entire finger and not even notice. The sensor is the haraya and it's the haidah to you that wait a minute, I'm getting involved in something that's very dangerous and I'm in danger. I have to go either save my finger that I just cut off and or stay away from what I'm about to do. Right? When you touch something very hot, what happens? Your body recoils naturally. Someone who lacks that ability, there's something medically wrong with them. So too when it comes to the halachas of erva, of getting too close to arayas, if you don't feel the understanding that, like, hey, I'm getting involved in something that's a little dangerous here, I'm getting a little too close to the fire, there's something wrong with you. Let's point that out again. Same thing with getting, now, okay, so when this happens so much, it's so natural, it's because the sensitivity has been deadened.
It's been deadened,
man. You've calloused yourself, and that's a problem.
How are you doing? I'm like, you're a rab. Like, I want to smack you sometimes.
No,
like,
listen, I don't know. I can't speak for every single rabbi just because a person has a beard and a hat. I can't explain for it. And again, you have to be normal and you have to be natural. And there are situations and times and there are cultural norms which may be more or less sometimes. If a person would be offended that, you know, you speak to you meet with a couple and you don't at all in acknowledge the wife's presence, then yeah, that's actually considered to be a zilzal to that person. It needs to be done respectfully. You need to, I'll give you a mashal. A rabbi who teaches Kiruv, if he sits and learns with a boy who doesn't probably keep Shabbos so well, who doesn't know Gemara at all, and he sits and says, well, let's open a Ksais, let's learn together. Is he doing Kiruv properly?
No.
What should he do instead? Talking about sports, the current events,
yeah,
about what's going on, right? But here's the thing, internally within that rabbi, should he ever become the type of person that he doesn't feel bad that he's not learning? Or that his ikr sheifa and ikr mind and goal is that eventually I will use this opportunity to talk to him until the time comes where I'm able to then transition him into learning. Do you hear the question?
What's the question?
The question is that should he is it good for within him to be someone who has removed himself from that goal ultimately of learning?
But and it's part of the goal. I want to say he removed it. That he's on. Oh, that track.
So this is a very this is a very fine line. The fine line is that eventually I want to get to a place where I'm learning, because again, the sensitivity is what defines the goal. Or,
the idea
or
of keeping it's that. Someone closer,
but is
that's the goal.
Agreed. But if it becomes the end unto itself that I go to concerts with them and I talk sports with them, then you've lost your way as the as a Makari. So I'm saying is that the principle should always be there, that I don't talk to women. Here, I'm speaking to this person because I want to be respectful and acknowledging of them, but I know the ultimate value is, ultimately, that we should all be very, very pure people, that we should not be mixing around with each other. It doesn't mean that but the problem is what happens is that people don't have this sense of nuance, or they lose it, and oftentimes, as the Altar of Nevadic explains, that we sometimes will put the cart before the horse. We'll do a certain act, and then because we can't justify what we do wrong, so we change the principle unto itself in order to justify what we do. So now it's a principle. No, and you hear some people saying, Kirov, no, Adarabba, when I talk sports, I talk sports. I, mama, sit there and talk sports. I don't think about Torah at all. Chas v'shalom to think about Torah in that moment. Chas v'shalom to think about Torah. Torah, I'm doing Kirov and Ganson. What do? They change the value of Kiruv, as Kiruv is, by the word, means to bring closer. Bring closer to what? If Torah is removed from that equation, then what are you bringing him closer to? To you just having a friend? Okay, have a friend. I don't know. Go go on Facebook for that. The Kiruv is to bring them closer to the principle. What's the principle? That ultimately we will learn, sit and learn Torah together. But if a person has totally changed the conception of the principle at the end goal, then they're just sitting and hanging out. And that is ridiculous. You know that's called. You know that's called Moshe Leitzin. Okay, but you hear the mushel. The mushel I'm trying to say is not that you can't sit in the shmooze with the person and really be shmoozing gishmak about learning. Apologize about sports, but with the tachas in mind that if I had the opportunity, I would talk and learning with him. Well, not even derech agav. I mean, you don't have to then say, well, let's talk sports, and then we talk sports. I'm going to give you a mushel about learning, and then maybe I'll get him into learning. No, talk sports with him. But no, if you had the opportunity to talk and learning, you would be the type of person to talk and learning. And the problem is people come so empty in their as shells that they only can talk sports and they eventually can't even talk about learning anymore.
The problem is, is that the person you're trying to influence you.
Exactly. And therefore, let's bring it back to the nimshel. So in a situation where I'm, in a sense, being courteous and being respectful and being responsive to the opposite gender, and you're being, by the way, it's a false equivalence, because it doesn't mean you would never not acknowledge him, always acknowledge him. Be respectful. But not that you're schmoozing in, as if to say that's the entity on the go unto itself. Theoretically, if this person didn't need that, I wouldn't do it, because that's not who I am. That's not my identity. I don't schmooze with other women. Anyway, I hope we explained the Nakuda veritably. Yeah, if you have a question.
I'm not chas v'shalom coming at.
Why not? Why can't you? Yeah.
Speaking about the goals and the sensitivities, and the question that came to me, how does anybody teach in seminary?
Oh, it's a Gevaldige question. 100%. It's a Gevaldige question. You have to be very smart.
Especially,
and Hagufa, that's the point. You're 100% right.